Now, from Hollywood, Romance. Romance, transcribed stories of love and adventure, of comedy and crisis, of conflict and human emotion. Today, the story of the first lady lawyer of the land. It's written by Irene Winston and stars Alice Backus in The Law and Miss Deborah.
In 1793, a state of war existed between France and Great Britain. And for the protection of these United States, our President George Washington issued his proclamation of neutrality. Unhappily, this act did not extend to the state of war then existing between the Commonwealth of Virginia and my daughter, Miss Deborah Lynn Page. It began at an ordinary council meeting when Proctor Gormley tugged at his new waistcoat and then held up a well-worn sheaf of papers. The instant I saw them, I groaned aloud.
Gentlemen, there remains one more item on the agenda.
Not again.
Yes, Judge Page, again. Gentlemen, we have here the petition of Miss Deborah Lynn Page requesting a license to practice the law here in Cumberland County. The chair recognizes Mr. Bartlecast.
I thought we referred that to Richmond.
Well, five times we referred it to Richmond, and five times they referred it back, saying it was purely a local matter.
Well, then I suggest we dispense with the usual procedure and simply use common sense. Gentlemen, Miss Deborah, being a female, is automatically eliminated from such consideration.
Automatically, my foot. If you speak anatomically, we are forced to concur that my daughter is indeed a female. However, let me point out that nowhere in the books does the law clearly differentiate between the sexes, except perhaps in certain cases.
Gentlemen, please, order!
Do you want to see her get that license?
Of course not, but I insist that she be stopped within the law.
Right. Order, please! This is no time for a private discussion between Judge Page and Mr. Bartley Carson. Order, please. I think I have a solution, gentlemen, to satisfy everyone.
There speaks a politician if I ever heard one.
Gentlemen, look out of this window. What? Will somebody wheel the judge's invalid chair over?
I'll stay right where I am.
Very well. Now, look over there, gentlemen, near the big tree. The young lady seated on the bench is Miss Deborah Lynn Page, awaiting the verdict of this council. Now, do you suppose that any young woman as lovely as that would be content to practice the law for the rest of her life? Why, it's against reason, against logic, even against nature.
Poor defenseless nature. Spare us the birds and the bees and get on with it.
Very well. I suggest we grant her the license. Let her be a lawyer. Can you think of anyone in this day and age rash enough to be represented in court by a female attorney, however learned she may be? And just how dangerous is a lawyer without clients?
I warn you, gentlemen, my daughter will not be satisfied with an empty victory. You're setting a dangerous precedent.
Mark your votes, gentlemen, if you please.
No matter what the majority votes, I am opposed. And furthermore, I want the record to clearly show that as of this day forward, I am no longer in favor of educating any female beyond the need of simple convenience.
Oh, come now. This whim of hers will not extend beyond her wedding day. Her husband will see to that.
Mr. Gormley, you are a bachelor. Ask any married man here if he can speak for his wife without first consulting her.
Of course, I knew the minute Proctor Gormley and the counsel looked out of the window.
Oh, you did?
Of course. I knew my legal qualifications didn't show, but don't you think I have a most intelligent profile, Father?
Tell me something. How on earth did you manage to attract attention to yourself from outside the window?
I kept flashing a mirror so the sun would send a beam of light into the council room.
I wonder what would happen to American jurisprudence if women ever decide to show their limbs.
That sign is disgraceful. If it's my last act on earth, I'm going to stop you from making a further fool of yourself.
Don't you dare touch that sign.
No.
I have permission from the High Sheriff himself to hang it there. I warn you, I'll sue you for damages to my property.
Go ahead and sue. It'll be the only kiss you ever get.
Oh, you tore it.
Just what are you two fighting about?
Will you please inform your daughter that ethical lawyers do not stoop to advertise themselves as merchants do?
It's not an advertisement. It's a public notice posted in the public welfare.
What are you talking about?
Arthur, as you well know, a lot of people who come up before the court can't afford to hire counsel. Even though they're entitled to legal aid, their own poverty forces them into a position
Stop
where they...
Stop sounding as if you're running for office and tell me the facts.
I have decided to become a public defender.
What?
I will defend anyone from anything regardless of their ability to pay. Article 6 of the amendment to the Constitution guarantees all involved in criminal action the right to legal counsel. Nowhere does it mention money.
Article 6 says that?
Yes.
Funny. I always thought it was Article 7.
Deborah, just look at that moon. It's almost as lovely as you are tonight.
Partly, honey. You were mean to me this afternoon.
I'm sorry. Let's get married right away. Let's not wait anymore. Deborah?
Partly, honey. You're sweet. You put too much faith in simple biology.
What kind of an answer is that?
No matter how much you make love to me tonight, I'm still going to practice the law tomorrow.
She saw right through my proposal. It didn't work.
Maybe you weren't romantic enough.
Did you ever try to make love to a lawyer? There's got to be a loophole somewhere. She's becoming impossible.
I expect Patrick Henry for dinner tonight. Maybe he can help.
So you see why it's important, Mr. Henry.
I suggest you see young John Marshall. At 28, he already knows more law than any other lawyer in the country.
Aren't you being unnecessarily modest, sir?
No. I know juries. Marshall knows the law.
Shortly after that exchange, Proctor Gormley arrived to show off both his new clothes from London and his nephew Roger, who had just returned from making the grand tour.
This is the latest fashion. Look.
You're as vain as a woman.
Not another piece of fabric like this exists in the entire country. Aha, and look here, a matching money pouch.
How does it feel to be home, Roger? And how did you like London?
I preferred Paris.
At your age, that's natural. Where did Deborah go, Bartley? He'll be glad to see Roger again after all these years.
Well, I'll look for her, sir.
You don't have to, Bartley. Here I am. Hello, Father.
Say hello to Roger Gormley and be a proper hostess.
Very well, I will. Hello.
You remember Deborah, don't you, Roger?
I'd rather not remember her any further back than the way she looks this moment. Your servant, Miss Deborah.
Oh, yes. Yes.
Roger just returned from Europe.
Sometime you must tell me about it.
I should like to. Shall we go into the garden? Your pardon, gentlemen.
Well, will you excuse me, please, sir?
Where are you going, Bartley?
I have some reading to do on simple biology.
I'm sorry I'm late. Truly, I am. But I've just been studying law and order in its natural habitat.
With Mr. Roger Gormley, I notice. Do you have any idea how affected you've become lately? You don't have to talk like a lawyer unless you're trying a case.
Why, Bartley, honey, I'm sorry. I've just come from the jailhouse.
With Gormley. I saw you, and I don't think you should be exposed to such sights.
The sights are nowhere as bad as the smell.
It isn't safe.
I wasn't alone.
You never are these days. Come here.
Bartley,
please
honey.
Stop talking long enough for me to kiss you.
You never kissed me like that before.
I never kissed you goodbye before, either.
Are you jilting me?
Just giving you a chance to make up your own mind without any encumbrances like a disapproving fiancé. And don't cry, Deborah. I won't stay here long enough to feel like a cad.
If you stop the tears, you might be able to think straight.
I don't want to think straight, Father. I just don't want to lose Bartley.
You don't have to.
But I don't want to give up Roger either.
You can't have them both. There's a law in this state against multiple marriage.
I recognize my mistake now. I should never have permitted Bartley to even learn I was seeing Roger, much less get jealous of him. But I'll change that.
How?
All I have to do is convince Bartley that I find Roger dull and boring, and that I feel sorry for him and haven't the heart to hurt him. That's all.
You think he'll believe that?
Why not? Roger thinks I'm too tender-hearted to send Bartley away.
What a liar you are.
Oh, I haven't lied enough. I paid Bartley the supreme compliment of being completely honest with him. I should have known better. No man can stand honesty when he can get flattery instead. And I'm going to prove that point to Mr. Bartley Carson.
We'll return to romance in just a moment.
Dial, smile, and listen a while to CBS Radio. CBS Radio. You can listen by the hour, and CBS will shower you with entertaining shows. If you dial, smile, and listen a while to CBS Radio.
And now for the second act of Romance.
Bartley, at least, behaved with perfect masculine reason. He went straight to the tavern to drown his sorrow.
Barmaid! Barmaid, I'm thirsty! Even my soul is thirsty, and who cares?
Hello, Bartley. Drinking alone?
No, not if you care to join me. Sit down, Roger.
Thank you.
Not at all. I find the sight of you very helpful.
Huh? How?
I'm drinking to forget what you look like. And as long as I can see you, I'm too sober.
That's very logical.
I'm a very logical man. I'm a lawyer.
Let me order a fresh jug.
No, no. Well, let me. Barmaid! I have to shout. She's dead.
Oh. Marion, will you come here, please?
Who's Marion?
The barmaid.
Oh?
Yes, Mr. Roger. What can I do for you?
Another jug, please.
Anything you want, Mr. Roger.
Oh, she winked at you.
I know.
Or she didn't wink at me. It's going to be my sorrow to go through life unloved and unwinked. I'm a failure at everything.
Here you are, Mr. Roger.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Roger.
Be honest with me. How do you feel about Miss Deborah?
I plan to ask her to marry me.
How can you chase after a barmaid?
Miss Deborah isn't here now.
Oh, that's very practical. I never would have thought of that. Yeah, it's very sleepy out.
Come on, Bartley, I'll take you home.
Go away. Gotta get some sleep.
Marion, bring a cover to put over the gentleman. When that fire dies down, he might take a chill.
Yes, sir.
Mr. Roger Gormley, I believe.
I don't think... I'm sorry, I don't seem to remember your name, sir.
Polly Otis. I work for your uncle by day.
But don't bother with
but
you.
But by night, I'm my own man and my own boss, and I'll thank you to leave my wife alone.
Why don't you go away?
Yeah, no, that's...
She's my wife, and I'll handle her my own way. Or I'll beat you within an inch of your life.
Not in my presence, you won't!
I suppose you'll think you're a man of the place.
Mr. Roger, we'd better get out before the High Sheriff comes. Follow me out the back way.
Covered by the blanket, Bartley was unnoticed when the High Sheriff arrested Marion Otis for disturbing the peace. Nothing happened to Roger. His Uncle Proctor saw to that.
Mrs. Otis, this money bag is full, and it's all yours if you keep my nephew's name out of this case and swear that you hit your husband with a bottle.
I'm willing, but you'll never get Farley to agree, and he's the one Mr. Roger hit.
He'll do as I say as soon as he regains consciousness.
What happens to me?
You'll be fined, sentence will be suspended, and you'll be put on the Philadelphia stage, leaving here tomorrow at noon.
What if something goes wrong?
The judge will have his orders.
I feel safer with a lawyer.
Well, if need be, just ask for Bartley Carson, my attorney. But be sure that Roger's name is never mentioned.
hand over the money.
Early the next morning, Bartley awakened with a hangover and a resolution which she promptly put to paper and had delivered to my daughter.
It's a note from Bartley.
Dear Deborah, when a woman persists in assuming masculine prerogatives, she must be expected to forego feminine privileges. Therefore, be assured that I will not rest until I can find a way to have your license for the law taken away. And be further assured that I will fight you as if you were a man.
How silly of you. You know, Father, there is one loophole. It won't do him any good to find it.
Why not?
He intends to fight me fairly and honestly like a man. I'm not that stupid. I'll fight him like a woman.
A short distance away, Roger Gormley was being awakened to face the day.
Roger!
Roger, wake up! Wake up! Wake up! Oh, my head.
Well, listen to me or you might lose it. You played at billiards here last night with Judge Alan Carter and me. He's prepared to swear you never left the house.
Oh, you take this too seriously.
I suppose you think a successful candidate for Congress can conduct a campaign from a prison cell?
Who's going to put a first offender in jail for a misdemeanor?
Now listen, Farley Otis died without regaining consciousness. The charge now stands at manslaughter.
You'll never get Bartley to stand still for that. He was there with me.
Oh, for heaven's sake, stop shaking. Bartley left town an hour ago on some private business of his own. By the time he gets back, this case will be a memory. I'll see to that.
I should have known better than to trust any man, especially a gentleman. I suppose that lawyer they promised me is out of town or something.
Yes, he is.
You know what happened? You stood right by when he gave me the money. Why don't you help me? What kind of a man are you?
That's a question I shouldn't care to answer to myself.
Morning, Sheriff.
Morning, ma'am. What can I do for you?
Since no clients look for me, I've come looking for them. Is there anyone here who requires my services?
You should have to leave, Miss Deborah. You'll have to get a pass from the court the next time you want to visit the jailhouse.
Since when and why?
Since last night when they brought me in. They're all afraid I'll try to save my neck, and they're right.
What can I do to help you?
You'll have to leave, Miss Deborah.
Get me a lawyer, please, before they hang me.
Come along now.
Just a moment, Sheriff. A lawyer doesn't need a pass to confer with a client.
But you're not her lawyer.
Do you want me to handle your case?
You? Well, you're better than nothing, I guess.
Sheriff, did you make a search of the prisoner when she was brought in here last night?
No.
In view of the charges, I want her searched in front of reliable witnesses and everything taken from her person placed in a sealed packet and marked Exhibit A.
Come in. Why, Miss Deborah, what a nice surprise. And how pretty you look.
Thank you. I hope you're not too busy to see me.
Oh, never, my dear. Come in, sit down. Now then, tell me all about it.
Well, I came to see you on business. You see, it's a question of law. I got my first case.
Congratulations.
Oh, I don't know if I'm going to like being a lawyer if I have to involve my friends. Oh, Mr. Gormley, I don't know how to say this, but I just heard the most shocking accusations made against you.
Oh?
Naturally, I don't believe them. I hate this.
Oh, now you go right ahead and ask your questions like a good lawyer.
Well, do you know a woman who calls herself Marion Otis?
Farley Mrs. Otis works for me, but I never met his wife.
Oh, good. Well, then you won't mind signing a statement to that effect, will you? I feel so businesslike. Just sign right here, please. Father, I've interviewed every one of the people Marion Otis swore was in the tavern that night. They all deny being there, every one of them.
Some people just don't want to be involved with the law for any reason.
I wish I knew if Bartley was being paid to stay away.
That woman could be lying for her own vindictive reasons. Dr. Gormley's no fool. Why would he give you a sworn statement that he never met her? He's too smart to sign anything that could be used against him in court.
That's it. What difference would it make what he signed if this case never comes to trial? Oh, I need your help, Father. I'm going to ride out tonight after Bartley.
How do you know where he is?
If I know Bartley, and all of a sudden I do, or he can only be in one place, conferring with John Marshall in Sunnyside, trying to find a way to get my license revoked.
Presupposing he's innocent.
Well, here's what I want you to do for me while I'm gone. Because the minute I leave town, Proctor Gormley has to act. Bartley, what do you know about Marion Otis?
Who? Never heard of her. Who is she?
The barmaid at the tavern.
Oh, the blonde wench.
Don't you dare look so pleased at the mention of any woman's name but mine.
Oh, believe it or not, Deborah, she didn't even look at me. She found Roger much more attractive. I may have been too drunk to move, but I saw the whole brawl.
All of it?
Well, certainly. The sheriff didn't see me underneath that blanket, and I wasn't asleep.
What? Do you realize what it will mean to oppose Proctor Gormley?
Well, there are other cities, other states. A good lawyer can always earn a living.
At the council meeting that followed immediately, Proctor Gormley heard himself charged with inciting to riot, bribery, coercion, and the use of his high public office to obstruct the course of justice.
Which of these charges can you prove?
That you paid Marion Otis the sum of 100 guineas to keep the name of your nephew, Roger, out of the original misdemeanor charge.
I wasn't aware of the distinctive quality of my money. Doesn't all money look the same?
Yes, but that all of it is found in money pouches made of exclusive fabric, like that of your matching waistcoat.
Deborah, the council has just voted to revoke your license to practice the law on the following grounds. Although a woman is of legal age at 18, the law specifically states that a candidate for a license must be over 21. You lack 6 months of that age.
Doesn't the law also state that a married woman automatically achieves that majority?
Gentlemen of the council, may I present Mrs. Bartley Carson? We were married when the meeting adjourned for dinner 2 hours ago.
Deborah!
Oh, don't look so shocked. I told you I'd fight Bartley like a woman, don't you remember? Gentlemen of the council, will you please hold my original petition and list of qualifications? I plan to refile for a license as soon as I return from my honeymoon.
Oh, you haven't won yet. As a married woman, you need your husband's permission to do anything of a legal nature.
I know, Bartley, honey.
And I won't sign...
Bartley, honey, I don't want to make up your mind yet. I'll wait until after our honeymoon.
Romance is produced and directed in Hollywood by Anthony Ellis. Today's story was written by Irene Winston and starred Alice Backus in The Law and Miss Deborah. Featured in our cast were Herb Butterfield, Joseph Kearns, John Stevenson, Parley Bear, Don Diamond, Sam Edwards, and Charlotte Lawrence. Musical supervision by Jerry Goldsmith. This is Dan Cubberly, inviting you to hear Romance, transcribed next week at this same time. Every week, a New York opening. Every week, a great musical show studded with stars comes your way on the Woolworth Hour. Tomorrow on this station, make yours a splendid Sunday with all our musical favorites on CBS Radio and particularly with the Woolworth Hour. Stay tuned for Gunsmoke, which follows immediately over most of these same stations.